வந்தே குருன் ஈஷாபக்தான் ஈஷங் ஈஷாவதாரகம் தத் பிரகாஷம் சதச்சக்தி கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய சங்கம் வந்தே குருன் ஈஷபக்தான் ஈஷமிஷாவதாரகான் தத் பிரகாஷம்ச்ச தச்சக்தி கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய சங்கம் வந்தே குருன் ஈஷபக்தான் ஈஷமிஷவதாரகம் தத் பிரகாஷம்ச்ச தச்சக்தி கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய சங்கம் Yes, please chant. Yes, thank you. Vande. I offer respectful obeisances. Gurun. No, Gurun with N. Guru. Yes. Sorry. Unto the spiritual masters. See, Guru is singular, Gurun is plural. Ishabaktan, unto the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Isham, unto the Supreme Lord. Ishavatarakam, unto the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Tat, of the Supreme Lord. Prakashan, unto the manifestations. Cha, and. Tat, of the Supreme Lord. Shaktihi, unto the potencies. Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sangakam, named. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, His plenary portions, His energies, and the primeval Lord Himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. There is a purport of what all this means in the opening overview which Prabhupada gives at the beginning of the chapters. We'll read from there. So these are the five manifestations in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, and we will now hear what they mean. The first manifestation described is the spiritual master, who appears in two plenary parts. Who knows the two parts of the spiritual master? You know them for sure, but in this context maybe. One is called the initiating spiritual master, and the other the instructing spiritual master. They are identical, because both of them are phenomenal manifestations of the Supreme Truth. Next described are the devotees, who are divided into two classes, namely the apprentices, that means the neophyte, the new, and the graduates. Next are the incarnations, avatars of the Lord, who are explained to be non-different from the Lord. These incarnations are considered in three divisions. Incarnations of the potency of the Lord, incarnations of His qualities, and incarnations of His authority. In this connection, Lord Sri Krishna's direct manifestations and His manifestations for transcendental pastimes are discussed. Next considered are the potencies of the Lord, of which three principal manifestations are described. The consorts in the kingdom of God, the queens of Dwarakadham, and highest of all, the damsels of Brajadham. Finally, there is the Supreme Lord Himself, who is the fountainhead of all these manifestations. Lord Sri Krishna and His plenary expansions are all in the category of the Lord Himself, the energetic absolute truth, whereas His devotees, His eternal associates, are His energies. The energy and energetic are fundamentally one, but since their functions are differently exhibited, they are simultaneously different also. Thus the absolute truth is manifested in diversity in one unit. This philosophical truth, which is pursuant to the Vedanta Sutra, is called Achintya Bheda, Bheda Tattva, or the conception of simultaneous oneness and difference. In the latter portion of this chapter, the transcendental position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that of Srila Nityananda Prabhu are described with reference to the above theistic facts. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of our Srila Prabhupada, talked about Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an extended subject. How would we say extended? Yeah. Yeah. It's in other words, God is, let us say, full of so many aspects and qualities. And in this verse, the theme of the philosophical theme of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is given. It's an opening verse which points us towards all these different aspects of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that we can really be sure that we understand Him properly and also approach Him properly. We know that it is said that Krishna is never worshipped alone. God is everything, is as many things, not just the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we see playing the flute, but He has many potencies, He has devotees, He has plenary portions. You can almost say, give an example of a king who never comes alone, but he comes with everyone, ministers, and so on and so forth. And you need to worship the Lord in all these aspects in order to make sure that you will be properly situated in your spiritual journey and will understand Krishna consciousness proper. Srila Prabhupada was writing about this nature of Lord Krishna in a very nice way. Krishna, of course, he says, means Krishna and His confidential devotees. Krishna is not alone. When we speak of Krishna, Krishna means Krishna in His name, in His form, in His qualities, in His abode and in His associates. Krishna is never alone. for the devotees of Krishna are not impersonalists. Now he gives an example how we can understand God in this many features or aspects. For example, a king is always associated with his secretary, his commander, his servant, and so much paraphernalia. As soon as we accept Krishna and his associates as our preceptors, no ill effects can destroy our knowledge. In the material world, the knowledge which we acquire may change because of the influence of time. So he says, when you understand Krishna like this, no bad influences can dampen your knowledge or your knowledge in your spiritual life. You will be, in other words, fixed and unshakable. That is the point. If you wish to read more about this aspect of the Lord, that he is really never alone, you could read in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 25, text 38. Hare Krishna. This is safe? Not what if I start moving? Can I give this book to you, the sacred book? Thank you very much. At another time, Prabhupada talks about this difficult subject matter by referring us to Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, as you know, is a great spiritual master, great philosopher, who is actually divine incarnation of Ananta Shesha. He is really a divine personality, and he has made a structure of philosophy which is impenetrable. It is really, if you enter it, it's really wonderful. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took elements of this philosophy, and Prabhupada said, Ramanujacharya is our guru in our line. So Prabhupada writes, referring to the philosophy of Ramanujacharya, Sri Krishna is not alone, but exists with all his manifestations as described by Ramanujacharya. If I'm correct, maybe you can help me, but this is called Vishishtadvaita, isn't it? God is, Advaita means God is one, that means everything is God, but Vishishta, the word Vishishta, which specifies the Advaita of Ramanujacharya, means specific oneness. It means there are specific elements which belong to the one God. No? There's a very deep philosophy which we cannot go so much into the detail, but I just want to ask you a question. Do you think the Supreme Personality is just like a personality like us? Ananda Gopal, you have rested and given us a sign that we need fresh air. Please take care of the fresh air. Thank you for your reminding us there's not enough oxygen. So, do you think God is just so simple to understand, or do you think the divine personality of Godhead is something very deep to understand? Of course, this is a rhetoric question. I'm almost sorry for asking such an offensive question, as if you wouldn't know. He is, of course, very, very deep, you know. If even a personality has so many aspects of this world, how many aspects will God have? Unlimited. So in this verse now, this opening verse, we hear five aspects, and it will become very simple. Please don't worry. This seminar, I will not make it difficult. Everyone can understand. Even a very new devotee can understand if you listen carefully. So it starts with the first thing. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters. Plural. And that means Prabhupada gave us two spiritual masters, the Diksha Guru, our initiating spiritual master, but also the spiritual masters who have given us valuable teachings, Shiksha Gurus. We learn that the Shiksha Gurus include the whole parampara, that is the line of teachers who have presented this wonderful spirituality. It's a plural number because it's many. It's a whole school, if you want. A spiritual university with the greatest personalities like Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I believe that when we start to read books in seriousness, like the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we become awed. That means full of respect. Wow, how deep this philosophy is. How wonderful it is. How nice it is. And we become also very happy that Prabhupada presented it in a way that we can follow and understand by really bringing out the essential elements of what is necessary for us to understand in depth. So, the respectful obeisances go to the spiritual masters. Yesterday, for those of you who joined us this morning, we heard of a wonderful Leela where one devotee is trying to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, but Nityananda Ram or Balaram does not allow this and is not pleased. He just acts in his own ways to express his displeasure. But then when this disciple or this devotee, Narahari is his name, Chakravarti, is handed by his spiritual master through the line of disciplic succession to Lord Nityananda and then to Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda is very, very happy and gives him so much mercy. We heard about this yesterday, and if you wish to hear it because you were not present, you can listen to the tape which was recorded yesterday or whatever the electronic recording is. So now then this verse says, obeisances must be offered to the devotees of the Lord. The main Lord Chaitanya appeared as Guru Tattva, as there was Nityananda, and the devotees of the Lord are represented by whom? Srivas Thakur. No? We are talking of the Pancha Tattva. Srivas Thakur is Lord Chaitanya. In the role of a devotee, in the role of a living entity like us, who wants to teach us how to approach the Lord. Then obeisances are to be offered by the Lord's incarnations, like Srila Advaita Acharya is the source of the incarnations. He's Mahavishnu himself, and through him the incarnations come. Then are the plenary portions of Lord Chaitanya as his associate Nityananda. He is really the first expansion. And then his energies as Gadadha is the internal energies. And then he is obeisances are given to the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This is the verse, and it will become clear. You notice I'm going a little fast through this. It will become clear as you follow the seminar. We will go to all these points. We will now come to the devotees of the Lord. Hare Krishna. It's such a big subject matter that I'm really... I will come a little later to the devotees of the Lord. I first want to explain how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. See, Krishna Leela is Gaura Leela. And Gaura Leela is Krishna Leela. Gaura Leela, or Lord Krishna, appears as Lord Gauranga because he wants to experience something which is very, very important for him to understand. He wants to understand the love which the devotees have to him. He wants to understand us. He's God. Now he wants to understand his devotees. He had done one experiment which we hear in the Bhagavatam. When the universe is flooded with the waters of the dissolution at the cosmic destruction, he had appeared there as a little child in the midst of this waters of destruction, and he had taken his foot and sucked on his toe, because he wanted to know what my devotees are always talking about. My lotus topolas, and they say it's so tasteful to worship. I want now to taste my own lotus feet. And he went like, zoop. I don't know if baby, as a baby, I know myself. There's a picture which my mother treasures as a very valuable picture, where I have my toe in my mouth and I'm imitating the Lord when he did this particular leela. So Lord Krishna is the Bhakta Vatsala, that is the lover of his devotees, and he wishes to understand what is their feelings which they have for him. And therefore, and especially he wants to understand what is the feelings of the best and the leader of all devotees. Who's this? Srimati Radharani. You know everything. So, he wanted to experience really, in philosophy, Lord Krishna is a Vishaya. Vishaya means he's the object of the love. Now, when there is an object of love, there are people who love this object or this person. For instance, the children love their parents. The parents would be the object of the love of their children. The devotees now are those, they are called Ashraya. Krishna is the Vishaya, the object of the love, and the devotees are called the Ashraya. It is those in whom the love reside, and from whom this love goes to Krishna. It's easy. Lover and beloved are the two. And now Krishna is loved by everyone. Therefore, he wants now to understand what are the devotees experiencing? I'm always the one who is in that role of being loved. I want to love me now and experience how this is, how this tastes. I think we all can give an example. Don't we sometimes in our own lives want to experience how does someone, what do people experience when they meet me? Like, for instance, I would be so happy to be in your role for one day and experience Satchinandan Swami lecturing to you, trying to somehow impress into your mind how important Krishna consciousness is, burning with eagerness so that you finally understand and take our movement serious, you know. I would find him a very disturbing individual. I cannot see myself properly. I have what is called a certain blindness and so on. But if I would be able, Madhavananda, to just step out of my skin and see me for one day, it would be very interesting. Don't we all have this feeling? Imagine, Madhavananda, you would see yourself and you would see so many things which you cannot now know about yourself. You would most probably find many areas in which you would like to improve your life. This is a conditioned soul. But Krishna would just be he wants to be fascinated by himself. Hare Krishna. There is a shloka by Raghunath Goswami. It says, he talks how Krishna once saw his own incomparable sweetness in a mirror in Braj. And he saw this personality in a mirror and he thought, what a wonderful personality. So, look at this beauty. We have a perverted reflection when we are before the mirror. We sometimes also feel when we brush our teeth, look at my beauty. it's really not so extremely justified. But, you know, we are parts of the Lord and we have some things there, isn't it? We human beings sometimes like to see ourselves as we walk in the town and we look at the shopping windows to see our sacred reflection and so on and become impressed. I mean, I'm not so bad actually. You know, and this is unfortunately we are a little bit in illusion. Hare Krishna. We are only material beings. Our real form is not manifested, our spiritual form. But, you know, these things come from the Lord. They are originally with the Lord. So the Lord feels, he wants to experience what his devotees experience. And he knows, he feels like, I know everything, but this is the one thing I don't know. It's the one thing I don't know and I want to know it. So Krishna then needs to make one step. He steps into the role of a devotee. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's, mind you, this is Krishna who now is in there in a loving experiment. That is, he is Chaitanya, he wants to be like a devotee and experience all of this. And now because he is Krishna, and this means he is Bhakta Vatsala, the well-wisher of his devotees, he combines this mission of him, this divine mission of him, to distribute the love which he feels in his heart. Isn't that wonderful? He actually is distributing his experience. I think you can also understand when you make a good experience, you want to distribute it to those whom you love most. Like when you get a new preparation in prasadam which you have not eaten, you will keep a little of the sweets for others. Isn't it? And at least for those who are married, they think immediately of their wives. Or this wife must eat it, otherwise she doesn't know what is good prasadam. Or the brahmacharinis or brahmacharis think, my friend should get this preparation also. So Krishna wants to share the experience of love. It's a very strong love. It's a very pure love, which Radharani experiences with people like us, Madhavananda. What do you think about this? This is wonderful. And he feels, they are my devotees, but now I want to give them something which they cannot forget. I want to give them pure love of Godhead in the way of my greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani. That's his desire. He wants to do that because he's Bhaktavatsala, the friend of his devotees. Oops. This is so much here, so nice that I have my notebook the wrong way around. I have to turn it now around. It's just, I find it so wonderful. I find it really so ecstatic. Let us turn to this one devotee, Narahari Chakravarti, who had the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us view his experience in the light of our seminar, where the subject matter is Lord Chaitanya is here and you can also experience him here at this stage, at this time of your life. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing his darshan to Narahari, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became just very, very merciful. And he said to Narahari Chakravarti, look, exactly, what do you see now? And what Narahari Chakravarti Thakur saw is all of a sudden a change in the atmosphere. It was no longer Navadvip. He looked at Vangsi Vat. That's, Vat means a tree. Vangsi means the flute tree. This is a tree under which Lord Krishna plays his flute. He looked, there was a beautiful scene with the Keli Kadamba trees. He saw the Yamuna shimmering with her blackish water. And he looked in the midst of the forest. He saw peacocks dancing. And all of a sudden he saw it. A beautiful throne, which was inlaid with jewels. It's called the Ratna Singha. Singhasan. The jewel lion seat. That's the two lions are on the side. The asan. And there he saw the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, sitting next to each other. Krishna was fully decorated with his necklaces. He had a beautiful crown on his head. He had a wonderful the locks of hairs were serving as a frame to frame his sweet face. He had a yellow dhoti. And he was there. Next to him sat Srimati Radharani in a bluish sari. And she looked at Krishna so wonderfully. Do you know what is the color of Radharani's eyes? Dark blue. Why does Radharani have dark blue eyes? Because she always looks at Krishna. So this time, Krishna was in a very special mood. Krishna was sitting actually with folded hands on his singhasan. And he spoke with a broken voice, like a beggar speaks. He said to Srimati Radharani, O Brindavan Rani. What means Rani? Queen, the queen of Vrindavan. O Vrindavan Rani, please give me your love. You have actually broken my promise. I had said that I would respond to the love of the devotees in the degree in which they love me. Yeyatamang prapadyante tangstadhaiva bhajamiham. In the matter and also the way we love the Lord will respond to us. He will reciprocate. But your love is so big that I just can't respond like this. And your love is also unique. Unique means one of a kind. Rani's love is only fixed on Krishna. But Krishna has to love all the devotees. Do you follow? Radharani's love has that one quality to be single-pointed, only in one direction. But Krishna loves all devotees, has to love. What would we do if Krishna only loves Venu Gopal and not us? We would feel desperate. We want that Krishna loves us also, no? So Krishna's love is many-branched, but Radharani is Vyayasakya, her goal is Ahwan. She only loves Krishna. So in this way, Krishna says, you have defeated me. My quality of love is not the same as yours. My is many-branched. And I want to experience this love now. I really want to experience this. I am Bahushaka, many-branched, and you are Ekanti in your love. I can't return this type of love, so I need to experience it. I want your bhava. I want to be surrounded with my associates, like you are surrounded with the gopis. I want to roll on the ground. I want to dive into the ocean of your love. Now when Radharani heard this, she became very concerned. She said, I'm not sure, Syama Sundara, if this is good for you. You can ask Lalita Sakhi, what is happening when you are not present? What is my experience? How much I suffer? Lalita said, Syama Sundara, this love is too strong for you. When Krishna is not present, my Sakhi, Radharani, lies on a bed of flowers, but because of the heat in her body, which is extremely intense, the bed of the flower dries up immediately. She is so much suffering that her cries for you break the stones. It's so intense. It's a little bit too intense for you, Syama Sundara. And Radharani took Krishna's hand in her own lap, holding it like this. My bhava is sometimes very miserable. But then Radharani looked into Krishna's eyes, and she saw Krishna wanted so much to experience her love. Then what could she do? She wants only to satisfy Krishna. That's her whole purpose. Then she says, there's one way, Syamasunda. And then she took the second hand of her beloved in her hands and held the hands. There's only one way for you. You have to enter my heart, and then you can embrace me and obtain my own kanti. Do you know what is kanti? It's a complexion. My own effulgence. And that will protect you. When you fall down on the ground, my kanti, my protection, will protect you. Now you can understand what is love. That's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would jump up, do you know? He jumped very high. And then in ecstatic love of Godhead, he sometimes fainted while he was still in the jump, in the leap. And he crashed down, seemingly unprotected. Could you imagine if someone faints when he is this high and then falls to the ground? He will break all his limbs. It will be extremely painful. Dario is from the wrestling arena. He knows even if you are crashing down from here, it's oh. But if you crash down from a high altitude and you are fainted already, in other words, your muscles are not protecting you as you crash down, it can be very painful. But nothing happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nothing. No problem. Because he was protected by Radharani's effulgence. Hare Krishna. So, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Narahari, who saw all this and who was witness to this intimate discussion between the divine couple, he actually saw how again the whole of Vrindavan turned into Navadvip, and where he had seen Radha and Krishna in his divine vision, he saw now Gauranga dancing and chanting, Jai Jai Mukunda Vanamali, you know, chanting his ecstatic kirtans and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And he saw the most ecstatic dancing pastimes with Lord Nityananda happening. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya had shown him how he is non-different from Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. So, now I want to discuss one other subject. Oh no, Krishna. It's 9:15. I will stop here. I will stop here. Although I'm just getting into the mood. Thank you very much. You are a wonderful audience who are encouraging me very greatly. I would like to discuss, continue this evening. Oh, this evening is Nam Yakya. Yes, but I will talk a little bit. I will continue about my seminar because I cannot control myself. It is such a good subject which is here. We will talk just a little bit because we want to, our main subject is how can we make contact with this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How can he also appear in our lives? And we need to learn it. It's like a science. I think Anandini is from biochemics? Biology, not biochemics? In biochemics, you know, you mix this with this. It's a science actually, and this, and then something happens. Isn't it? To put it very simple. We could ask Anandini for some proper examples. Maybe you could think of one and tell me. So in Krishna consciousness, we need to learn. It's something you have to go to the university. How to bring all the elements in our spiritual life and then experience something, how Krishna appears in our life. So,
Hare Krishna.
Dobro. Let us now see if you have any questions. Madhavananda.
It said that you can only should only charge a person when you walk 100 miles in the smoke ascent.
It says you can only what?
You should only charge a person when you
charge?
Walk. Judge.
Beurteilen.
When you walk 100 miles in the smoke ascent. And also Srimati Radharani said that.
In which scripture is this? It sounds like a red Indian saying. It's from the Red Indians. Winnetou.
And also, Srimati Radharani said that you cannot heal when you, what another person heals when you don't have the same experience. So, and I wanted to ask if Lord Mahaprabhu, if he also, when does he experience the suffering of a person, and then out of the suffering, the person, first of all, does he experience it, and then he said, oh, he's suffering so much, I have to give him my mercy, because I give my mercy to him. And is there an example for that?
Mm-hmm. This is a very good question. Madhavananda is asking, does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experience actually the suffering of the living entities of people like us, because it requires an experience to really understand the other person. And is he understanding our suffering? And is his distribution of mercy, how do you say, is it taking this into account, our situation, because to give mercy, you have to understand the person. This is your question, am I right? Does God understand the living entity? There are two answers to this. One is given by Jiva Goswami, and one is given by other acharyas. Let me start with the others. Of course, God understands everything. Everything is his creation, and the creator knows his creation. That's an understanding of the tattva, from the perspective of spiritual truth. At the same time, it is said by Jiva Goswami, who explains this question on another level, is that Krishna does not experience suffering. He's all blissful. And therefore he sends his dear devotees to help the living entities, because his devotees have also sometimes experienced sufferings. They can mitfühlen, they can feel like someone and how he feels. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understands you in the sense that he is all-knowing. He really understands you. But he will help you a lot through his devotees. And this is why it is You can see now how a door opens, hopefully, in your understanding, why it's so important to understand this verse, which talks about how we approach Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for instance, through his devotees. It's very necessary that we are not alone in our spirituality. We have company with devotees. I have seen this very, very often, that a lot of, let me say, spiritual illusions or illusions on the path and difficulties on the path can be cured by devotees. A lot. And a devotee who isolates himself from the devotee, thinking, I want to come to God, I do not know why I need now devotees, he usually takes a great help which the Lord has given him. He doesn't accept this help. The Lord help comes through his devotees. This is very, very important. For instance, when we have something which pressures our heart, we need to go to the devotees. I would say for the male devotees, you need to have devotee friends on an equal level with whom you can interchange. Hare Krishna! Moksha Rupi and Vandi Tangi have arrived. Dobro došli. Haribol. We really need to experience, we can experience the Lord help through his devotees. And in this verse, this is stated. Because your devotee, I understand your question totally. Krishna never experiences miseries the way we experience miseries. It's not possible. He's Sachit Ananda, eternally full of bliss and knowledge. And someone who becomes Krishna conscious, that's so wonderful. He also is lifted by the Lord on the level so that even when he is experiencing misery, he doesn't experience it like we do. I do remember how Prabhupada, he was in an elderly body and he did certainly not spare his body. I mean, he traveled all over the world. It was very strenuous. He rested only for so little and so on. And sometimes he would lose a tooth or he would have, you know, different things. But it was always clear he did not suffer the way we suffered. He would sometimes laugh about the material body. He would just laugh. Almost as it, when you see something funny, you laugh about it, and you can laugh about it because it has nothing to do with you. So he would be like this. Like once when he was, when he almost had left his body, he was there, and the devotees had to carry him. And as the devotees were carrying him, he had to laugh so much. His body was so thin that it was shaking. The devotees, Prabhupada, what? Prabhupada, I explain when I'm upstairs. So they carried him upstairs. They were on their way to the veranda where there was some sun. And then Prabhupada said something which we didn't find funny, but he found it very funny. He said a Bengali verse which says, he is so poor, he cannot eat properly. He is so poor that he has to eat grasshoppers. But when he goes to the bathroom, he's riding on a white horse. So, For Prabhupada, who's on a very, very high level of intelligence, it meant like this. I'm in such a, my body is in such a deplorable and miserable position But when I move somewhere, I have four men carrying me. And he found this a contrast for enjoyable as a joke, you know. Maybe just so what I want to express is, but still the devotees have the body and they do experience these things, so they can understand how you feel, Madhavananda, when or how we all feel when we feel disappointed and down, and they can come to us and help us in our own desperation. I always feel it's so important to recognize how Krishna works. He comes through his devotees. Don't think Krishna, this is how Krishna comes to you, and he needs to come to you like this, because this is how you can accept. I really was thinking about this when I was getting up this morning. I was thinking, now we have such a wonderful temple. It's almost completed. And this looks a little bit still like abstract art, but if one wants to see it like that, one can see it like that. But otherwise, it's a very, very nice and almost completed. But we have to think very carefully how the devotees who are in this temple are really getting their spiritual experience, and how there is a nice atmosphere between the devotees. The devotees are our main project, and we need to learn this somehow, this magical formula of caring for devotees, of developing solid Vaishnava relationships where love and trust is the basis, and so on. Because that is the real satisfaction of the heart. When we are in the Grihastha Ashram, Madhavananda, we must invite devotees to our home. We must visit devotees like you and I have now come all the way from Passau to celebrate Gopunim. It's very important for us. Otherwise our world becomes narrow and crashes on our head. Hare Krishna. So we will have one last question, if I can, the two questions actually. Your good name? No, actually I first saw Amrita Kelly. Did I see you correctly? Yes, Amrita Kelly. Will you allow me to give a very brief answer due to time reasons? And then our devotee, and then we will finish. Mm-hmm.
The question is actually, at which point they get this?
This
is
the switch, yeah.
We have the stages,
we can get it. Yeah, Marita Kelly was asking, is asking about at which stage the switch turns and we can actually experience the love of Krishna. Well, it is said in the scriptures that on an appearance day, this is flowing very, very, very easily, this love for Krishna. It's said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, if we celebrate Nityananda's appearance day and Gopunim, we will get, or Gauranga's appearance day, we will get love of Krishna. So, but I know your question. You will say, well, I have celebrated many times these two appearance days, and I'm still asking my question. When will it happen to me? Of course, we know Rupa Goswami's answer, who says that first a devotee's bhakti has to become nishta, steady, and not always jup, 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 in order to experience the higher levels of Krishna consciousness, which deep taste, deep attachment to Krishna, and then the beginnings of love of Godhead. That is, this answer is to be always kept in mind. We have to always keep this answer in mind. But we can feel definitely love of Krishna on our level. We may not feel the same ecstatic love of Krishna which the liberated souls feel, but we can feel things like gratitude, like deep appreciation, and so on. And I believe all of us have felt this at one time or another on our level, and it was a wonderful experience where we felt very Krishna conscious. You know, when you I see this almost every day when devotees stand before the altar and pray very lovingly or very intensely, and you can see there's a relationship of affection going two ways, from the deities to the devotees, and vice versa, from the devotee to the deities. That is there. It may not be bhava or prema, but it is certainly something, and it is something which encourages us on our journey. So let us humbly aim for this, Amrita Keli. Our container is still small. We cannot hold so much, but at least if our container is full, dobro. Yeah, we can be satisfied. That's why I want to give these series of lectures to prepare us for the event, the great event. Gopuni, please listen carefully, and if there's something which you feel is inspiring for you, you please immediately practice it. Don't do it like you always do. Something comes in here, okay, it goes out there. Yes. What is your good name, please? Gordon. Gordon. Mm-hmm.
You said that the only thing that Krishna cannot know is that the intensity of love that a devotee is filled for him. So he took the form of Sushitani Mahaprabhu. But I heard a couple of times that one more thing Krishna do not know. And so I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Or not. That thing is that the devotee said that Krishna do not know when the person will surrender. When that moment will be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, we want to now go to a list, but there are also Krishna in the Leela explains some things which he doesn't know, but I feel it's very important for us to understand things from the Tattva perspective. That is, God is certainly all-knowing. He, in the Leela, he does like this. Now you have a very particular question. Does Krishna know the moment when I surrender to him? Or the living entity surrenders to him?
And
that is that moment. How can he know? Hi, Krishna. Now, I know that there are many answers to this. If you approach this question from keeping the perspective in mind that the living entity has free will, then if this is there, the living entity has free will. Then how can anyone know? Because knowing would fix a certain time in the future. For instance, if I know, Gordon, that you will eat too much prasadam, exactly at 7:30 on Gopunim, that's when the sun has set, then this would fix a date, then you would, if it's true that you, what I know about you, then you would be forced to eat too much prasadam at 7:30 on Gopunim evening. You would have no choice. There would be your normal portion, which would go up till here, but you would eat this portion, which goes up till there. If I would know, and my knowledge is true. So from this perspective, you can say, Krishna will never interfere in the slobodan of the living entity. He doesn't do that. There is no forced thing. You always have the choice. Huh? So from this perspective, sometimes it is said Krishna doesn't know when we surrender. But Krishna is not so easy to understand. Krishna simultaneously, without mixing into your independence, knows when you will surrender. This question is, Krishna knows everything. In all spaces of time and how he does things, he's God. It's almost the question is, can God create something, which is heavier than he can lift? This is a problem of logic. And the answer is yes, he can do everything. He can create also something which is more heavy than he can lift. And then he turns around and lifts it. Here, my dear Gaudan, you need to purify your intelligence and mind a little bit more. And then when you hear such an answer, you will go, yoo-hoo, I understand. But please don't try to understand it. Put God into your little brain. It will explode. No brain. The brain will be left, but the thinking functions will go wild. Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. We should just hear from morning till evening about Krishna, chant his name, and then go back to Godhead this hour, desire. Do you sometimes feel this in your life? Enough is enough. We cannot live this this compromised life where we are with one foot in Maya and with the other foot trying to get out of it a little bit, and struggling like a struggler. We should sincerely try to get the mercy. And this evening is our first big chance. This evening we will do a Nam Yajna. Is this correct? We are already planning, and our devotees will are thinking of a decoration and everything. So this Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gonitai ki jai. Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bo Hari Hari.